Friday, November 21st, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we continue our series in the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 21, looking at verses 23 through 32 with a message titled, The Authority of the King.
I find this moment really important in the Gospels because it really is the question that I think in God's wisdom, everybody needs to wrestle with. It's the big question everybody needs to think about. It's the important question all peoples are called to consider, the question of authority. What kind of authority does Jesus have? And who gave it to him?
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn this morning to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, as we continue to look at this Gospel of Matthew and make our way through it. Page 982, we'll be looking at verses 23 through 32 of Matthew chapter 21. Let's give our attention this morning to the Lord's powerful word, beginning at verse 23. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." He said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." And there we'll end the reading of God's word. Well, beloved in the Lord, Matthew wants us to think about, at this point in the gospel, as we've moved, we looked at Jesus last time, showing that he is a prophet of mercy, but also a prophet of judgment. And here we have come to his judgments being exercised on the nation of Israel. And this is a very important section that we come to because it's really addressing, in the ministry of Jesus, his issue of authority, the issue of authority that Jesus Christ has. It speaks of course, his power and his right and his rule to rule as the king, his great claims to rule and to bring in the kingdom of God on this earth, and that he is indeed the Messiah. He is indeed the Messiah who has come, the one sent from heaven, the long waited for Messiah. And it's surprising the responses that we have seen to him. When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, you'll remember that when he preached, there was something different about his preaching. There was something that captivated the masses and the crowds about his preaching. In fact, the word that is chosen when it describes his preaching says that after he preached, the peoples were literally blown out of their minds. They were mind blown because he spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees. He wasn't out, Jesus was not out giving little homilies. Jesus was not out giving things that people could sit around and quoting all these people and arguing about the law and these, the kind of the way that the scribes and the Pharisees did. He spoke with authority when he spoke, and it was recognized among the people. What does that authority mean for us as followers of Christ? What is that all about? And what does it look like to come under that authority? And what does it look like to not do so? Seems to me those are the very important questions of this particular text this morning. And that becomes front and center in the theme of this text, the authority of Jesus Christ that is being driven home. All of us should ask that great question. How have we responded to the authority of Jesus Christ? And this passage will show us what it means to reject that authority in one's life and what that looks like and why that is the most foolish choice that one could make ever. Because the very mark of being a true follower of Jesus is that we have come to him as the King, as the one who has all authority. So that's what's before us this morning. We have a challenge to Jesus' authority, the hypocrisy of that challenge, and then Jesus gives a conclusion to that challenge, as he often does, with a parable or a teaching to solidify the main point that he is making. In this last section, Jesus has marched right into the temple, you remember, after the triumphal entry. The next day, he comes into the temple, and what a scene that was. What a scene that was. We had the prophetic cleansing of the temple. Remember, Jesus is flipping seats when he went in there, when he saw the abuse that was going on, that they had made his father's house a den of thieves and of merchandise. And so the scene that we had was him, one, exercising judgment. And I said last time, it's amazing that's all he did when we looked at exactly what was happening in the temple. He had made, in the temple cleansings, a whip of cords with strands to whip people. He had overturned the tables. He had flipped over the money bins all over the floor. Thousands and thousands of coins flipping out over in the middle of the temple. So zealous was he for his father's house, because it was meant to be a house of prayer for all the nations. And you remember in that scene who came to him. It was the blind. And it was the needy. And the children are the ones singing the psalms, singing out to the Lord. The children are the ones singing Hosanna, Psalm 118. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That must have been quite a moment to watch. Imagine being a disciple and seeing that, standing right there. Number one, it's just uncomfortable. But think of the level of offense that was just brought in the heart and center of all of Israel's religious activity. They were probably thinking, what in the world are we doing here? You have just royally angered all of the spiritual authorities in Israel. And that's what makes our text so remarkable this morning. He leaves the temple. He then went out and cursed the fig tree. The thing withers up as the symbol of Israel. And then what we have as we come to our text this morning is him coming right back to the temple. Verse 22 kind of says it. It's just if it's no big deal. He comes right back into the temple. He enters the temple, and then he begins to teach. If I went to, and I could never do this because I don't have this kind of authority, but if I went to a compromised church and I flipped over the pulpit, if I don't have those anymore, but I flipped over the plexiglass and I threw down the offerings and I spilled the money everywhere and I flipped the pastor's chairs, and I went up and confronted the elders, and I got a whip and started whipping the deacons, what do you think might happen? Well, it probably wouldn't be a good idea to go back there next week, right? You know, it's probably not a good idea. That's exactly what he does. What a warrior. What a champion for truth. What a champion for God's house. This guy goes into the temple the next day and starts teaching from their perspective, this guy. I mean, it's a remarkable moment to think about our Lord. He goes back to the temple with absolutely no fear, and he begins to preach the gospel again to the needy. And as he's doing it, all kinds of people are gathered around him. And sure enough, the massive confrontation begins. We read that the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, you'll notice here, walked right up to him. You could imagine the scene. Of course, there are temple police. There are authorities. These are the temple authorities. I emphasize the word authorities. They are the authorities of the temple. And here come all the Jewish authorities right at him. Everything has reached a boiling point. I mean, think about it. You can put this together. He's been healing the sick. The blind have come. The lame have come. And to fulfill Psalm 8, all the children are singing. And Psalm 118, Hosanna. And he says, you won't sing, but God can raise up children from these rocks to sing praise and worshipers. He is preaching the gospel to the multitudes in the middle of the temple. What a scene. And the major clash comes. We have seen this the whole way through. The common people were able to hear him. I mean, it's just a remarkable thing. The common people, the needy people, were able to hear him. And we'll be getting to that last line that is the most jolting in the passage this morning of who enters the kingdom. The common people, the needy people, the broken people, the sinners, they were able to hear him. They were able to come to him. They were able to listen to him, and they believed him. But they weren't so impressed with these guys with their phylacteries. That's coming in chapter 23, their long robes and their tassels. The people, what's being proven here, had never really been persuaded by the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and the religious councils. Jesus is teaching and they're coming. So here comes the question. By what authority do you do these things? We want to know who gave you this authority. Who gave you the authority to flip our tables? Who gave you the authority to act like you own the temple? Who gave that to you? You don't have credentials. We want credentials. Show us. It's a serious confrontation at this point in Matthew's gospel, and very important for the strategic timing of it that Matthew has given this to us. You don't have the authority to do what you're doing. You've never been trained in our schools. You don't have a degree. Who gave it to you? Now, they think they've pinned him. They think they pinned him because if Jesus answers and says, well, I have no authority, they can pitch him, of course, as a self-proclaimed authority and wreck him among the people. But if he says, I am authorized by God, he is putting himself on par with God, of which they could say, this is blasphemy. So they're trying to pin him into a corner here to wreck his credibility and to wreck everything that he's doing. This is what people do all the time when they're confronted with truth. We see this in society. What they want to do first, the first tactic before things ever get violent, is to try to wreck somebody's credibility. Well, he's going to a cross. They're going to kill him. But this is one of the first paths before that, is to always attack credibility and authority. I find this moment really important in the Gospels because it really is the question that I think in God's wisdom, everybody needs to wrestle with. It's the big question everybody needs to think about. It's the important question all peoples are called to consider, the question of authority. What kind of authority does Jesus have? And who gave it to him? That might be just one of the most important questions, really, to think about Jesus and his identity in the Gospels, isn't it? Well, what does Jesus do? That's the question at this moment. And in typical sort of rabbinical fashion, he poses a question to them. Jesus answered and said to them, I will answer you with one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, this is a little bit of a, you have to work through this and you have to stay with me because it was a more challenging sermon to write in the study, and I think you'll see why. The baptism of John, where did it come from? From heaven or from man? It's a brilliant moment. It's a brilliant question. It's really a simple question at face value. Where did John get his authority to baptize? Unspoken is, John was baptizing and proclaiming me. But where did that authority come from? He's out baptizing. And masses of people were coming to John to receive this. Masses of people were coming. You could sort of ask the question, I suppose, trying to draw analogy, although I think John's unique. Where does any minister get authority to do what he does? And why should it be received? Why should you sit here and listen to a pastor preach? Where does that come from? I mean, this is a little awkward. You think about the whole setup here. I still can't get over it every time I do it. I mean, I'm from Lemoore. Come on. Do you know where that is? No. If you do, then you know that's even worse of a case. You've all come here today and you sort of have two options, you know, with this ministry. Either I'm doing this on my own authority, right? Chris Gordon's authority that I took to myself, or this is commissioned by God. How do you know? How do you know, right? I mean, this is kind of a big moment, isn't it? Well, you could start by saying, who am I proclaiming, right? Myself or somebody else? What am I proclaiming? Why am I proclaiming it? What is the aim? You could ask those kind of questions. But you have sort of two options here as Jesus moves to John, the last and great of the old covenant prophets. Either John made it all up himself, or he was sent by God himself. And you see, Jesus just forced them by reasoning to think about John's authority for a minute. Here was the problem. Everybody knew John was a prophet. Notice down in verse 32, everyone counted him to be a prophet in Israel. Indeed. So they're faced with this question. What do you say about John's authority? He's baptizing. What about that baptism? He had a baptism of what? Repentance. Toward who? And for who? To lead to who? Where did he get it? Where did he get that authority? Well, here's what they do. They get together. Essentially, they have a huddle for a minute, time out. And they get together. And this is a real conundrum for them. This is a real conundrum. They huddle up and they start thinking, how do we answer this? How do we answer this? We got to answer this really carefully here. Here's what they come up with. Here's the reasoning that they use. If we say it's from heaven, he will say, then why didn't you believe him? Because they, these authorities, rejected John. But if we say it's from men, notice what it says, They feared the people, for all the people counted John to be a prophet. This is a kind of remarkable moment, isn't it? I don't want you to miss what just happened. There's a whole history of prophets who came and who spoke God's word, right? Throughout Israel's history, and John sort of climaxes the end of the old covenant prophets. John was the last. Everyone knew that John came with the same kind of authority that every prophet of God had throughout history. Where did any of the prophets get authority? And you see, the people believed this. Well, who believed it? That's the question. Who believed it? Who really believed it? And how did that happen? So you're really stuck with this question. Is there any authority in this life that you can be certain of, and where does it come from? Where? They all believed it was from heaven. That was the right answer. But they didn't believe him. Why? Well, they said, we can't say it's from men because we fear the people. For they counted John as a prophet. If they believed in Christ, that would mean they'd have to be brought under his authority. If they believed in John's baptism, that would mean, by logical conclusion, since John was preaching him, that they would have to come under his authority. But if they refused that authority, that would mean, now notice this, they lose, notice the issue here, they lose control over the people. Well, there's an authority issue. They lose control over the people. And that's what made them false, right there. Because it was about them. The real issue, what is the real issue we're dealing with? It was the claim of Christ's authority. And who receives it? They won't believe him, but if they say it's false, they lose everything. Do they really? Do they really? Well, they definitely lose their own authority. And isn't that the point? What a moment. If you reject Christ, what a...
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for part two of this message from the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.